Weeks ago, we started this lesson on prayer. If you don't have your notes, if you'll raise your hand, Brother Luke, it looks like he's got a stack right there and can give you some. And I didn't print out a whole lot. I was trusting some folks would have theirs from a couple weeks ago. But if we need some more, I can certainly print some after we're done here. And I apologize. I don't know what happened, but right before I walked up here, something has got caught in my throat. So I'm going to work. Hopefully I'm done with that, but be able to just teach here this morning. So we're looking at holy habits. So things that we need to include in our daily lives that will help us to grow. And the whole point of this series is that Christians need to grow. We're either growing to become more like the Lord or we're getting further away. There's really no middle ground. We're either growing or we're slipping. And so we want to be growing, and we understand that the only way to grow is, the Lord does the work, but there's things that we have to do as well. If we never pray, if we never read our Bibles, if we're never faithful to church, we can't expect to grow. So we've looked at a couple of the habits, and this habit here is prayer. And remember, I tried to say this, especially dealing with prayer and Bible reading, it's the habit of doing it, okay? It's just the habit of having this practice in your life. It's not making prayer habitual, where you don't think about it and you just sort of mumble over the same words that you mumbled over last week, and you're just kind of, you just say that same prayer over and over. In fact, we taught last week that would be vain repetitions. That's not the point. The point is we need to be in the habit of bringing things to the Lord in prayer. And so I'll catch you up on the notes real quick after we read our text, but Luke 11, look at verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in the bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. We're going to deal with verse 8 this morning in our lesson. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Dear Heavenly Father, we pray and we ask, Lord, that you would help us as we work through the lesson today. Help us to not only learn of prayer and what prayer is and sort of the mode of prayer, but Lord, help us to learn to incorporate it into our lives. I believe that's the point, is that we need to be praying. And so I pray through your word, you convict us and challenge us to pray more and pray more regularly and more consistently and more fervently. And Lord, I pray for your help as I teach. I just ask that you give me the words to say and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let me just work through some of these things that, again, we've already spoken to these, so we're just going to run through these pretty quick. But Jesus had a habit of praying. I noted several verses in your notes there where the Lord was a prayer. He got up a great while before the day many times, and he prayed. When Judas was going to betray the Lord, he knew right where to find him, because the Lord was continually being found at the Garden of Gethsemane in prayer. D.L. Moody, I read a quote that he said that told us that, you know, D.L. Moody, he didn't really teach us how to, or taught the disciples how to preach, but he did teach them how to pray. And when thinking of prayer and the Bible, and reading your Bible, there was a question asked of Jerry Locke where someone said, what's more important? Is it reading your Bible or is it prayer? And Jerry Locke answered, well, when you're flying in an airplane, which wing is more important, the left wing or the right wing? And, you know, if you've ever been in an airplane, you know this, both wings are equally important. And I think that's how it is with prayer as well. And Bible reading, either one of those that is neglected, and we will have bad results. But the fact is, most Christians do not have a good habit of prayer. I mentioned that the average Christian spends 11 minutes a week in religious activity. Okay, 11 minutes a week in religion. I'm sorry, 11 minutes a day. That's a week would be really bad. 11 minutes a day in religious activity, but that religious activity includes going to church. So if someone goes to church on Sunday and they spend an hour in church on Sunday, you realize that's quite a bit of those 11 minutes for the week spent just going to church. So the other 3 minutes a day is on the other religious activities, which would include reading the Bible, praying, etc. That tells you something. That tells you that a lot of Christians are at zero. You know, that's just what it tells you, because I know that you're here in Sunday school. You'll likely be here for the morning service in the afternoon. And so we're killing that number of 11 minutes a day just in our attendance today. So if there's people that are killing it, you know, and they've got 3 or 4 hours of church and they're reading their Bible daily and they're praying every day, but the average is 11, I'm just telling you that means there's a whole lot of Christians that aren't praying. There's a whole lot of Christians that aren't reading their Bible and also that aren't going to church. And so we need to make prayer a daily habit. Not even, we'd like to say daily, but just a moment by moment, as we're going to see today, a continuous thing that is going on in our lives. It's really no secret or surprise that the average Christian does not have any spiritual power. It's no surprise that the average Christian doesn't have any spiritual discernment. I mean, when we're not in our Bible and we're not praying, you can't expect to have those things. And so, again, we want to be different than that. We want to have habits that would lead us toward Christ and help us to grow. Okay, so we looked last week at the motive of prayer. And, my little clicker went away. Jax, can you just forward those for me? The motive of prayer. Sorry, Brother Tim's back there. There it is, the motive of prayer. And so we talked about the motive of prayer, so you can fill that in on your notes. And then we said the wrong motive, which is the next slide, guys, is that they may be seen of men, okay? We don't pray to be seen of men. And that's what Jesus pointed out in Matthew chapter 5 and 6. Actually, chapter 6 is where it was. People, these guys would come up and they'd pray, and they'd have these long, lengthy, ornate prayers. And the whole point was so that people would see them and be like, man, those people are spiritually, they're giants. They are some prayers. And, okay. I don't know if it's going to work. It may be dead. And that's okay. Yeah, but not right now. It's all right. Yeah, it's okay. But anyway, the wrong motive is that we would be seen of men. And so we said this, prayer is asking. So the next blank is simply put, prayer is asking. And if we're asking God for some things, you understand that God is the audience of our prayer. So when we pray, who do we care that hears our prayer? Well, we should be caring that God hears our prayer, because that's who we're asking. So it's much like when a kid is, like one of my kids needs something from me, they don't care if you hear it or not, do they? They're not going to get anywhere with you. They come to me, Dad. Hey, Dad. My wife told me this week, she couldn't believe how many times she hears, hey, Dad, in our house. Because all the time, hey, Dad, hey, Dad, hey, Dad. And I said, that's after they've said mom, mom, mom about 14 times. They come to me and say, hey, Dad, hey, Dad. But that they know I'm the audience of their question. I'm the one that can get them whatever they're asking for. So when we pray, if we're more concerned about who's listening out on the outside and not concerned about God, who is the audience and who's the one we're asking it of, we're asking amiss, okay? It's that way. So I said the because determines what is true prayer, which is the next slide. The because determines what is true prayer. Why are we praying and who are we praying to? And then we moved on and we'll go quickly to the method of prayer. The method of prayer. And so the Lord points out a couple of problems with our prayer lives where he says that we ought not to recite and have vain repetitions, which very simply means just some sort of memorized recitation of prayer. If you do something so much that you forget what you're doing, you still do it, it's not meaning anything anymore. If you're just memorizing and rehearsing a prayer, it's a relationship. And so if I memorize the best love poem that has ever been written, which I don't know which one that would be, I'm not really hip on poems, but if I did, and every time my wife needed something, I just recited to her that love poem, you understand, first of all, she's going to roll her eyes, okay? She's going to be like, you didn't even write this. Maybe the first time I read her that poem, it means something. But after the 100th time of her coming, wanting to communicate, and I just spurt out a poem to her, don't you realize that's going to be meaningless? Our communication is not going to be what it should be. She's not going to get from me what she needs. And so when we talk to the Lord, we don't come to him with vain repetitions and just something that we've memorized, something that we say. And I know I kind of harped on that some people memorize prayers, but it's just as bad when we catch ourselves saying the same exact words every time we pray because we're not thinking about, what we're saying. And so I said, our kids probably have our prayers memorized. I know what Dad says when we get around that dinner table. They could probably recite it by heart. So the point is, be thoughtful with your prayer. Pray to the Lord as you would believe that he is actually, what is that? Is it working? Okay, cool. I didn't know we had a backup. You know what? I'm just gonna go with no clicker. All right, it'll be okay, right? If you don't have the blanks at the end, I'll holler at you because I think I'm gonna fight with it too much. The second thing is this: much speaking. So we have vain repetitions, and then we have much speaking. So this, let me just go to the next slide here. This is talking about. Come on. Longer prayers are better prayers. Has anyone ever been trying to tell you something and you just thought, get to the point? Okay. Some of you do that in the 11 o'clock service when I'm preaching. You're like, just get to the point. What are you up there? No, get to the point. Just say, there's some people that can say a lot of words and not say anything. Talk for an hour and you're like, what'd they say? I don't even know what they're talking about. Just get to the point, right? Longer prayers aren't necessarily better. Now, it doesn't mean that every now and then you won't have a long prayer. Nothing wrong with a long prayer. But don't make a prayer long just for it to be long. In other words, God's not in heaven with a stopwatch and saying, all right, well, he spent 12 minutes on that prayer. I think I'll hear that one more than I heard his 30-second prayer earlier. One time I was driving, I was going hunting, and it was right after a big storm. It had come through our area, and so I got up really early in the morning because I was going to try to hunt the morning. I got up really early in the morning, and I was driving out to my place a couple hours from where I live, and it was still dark, and the roads were wet. It had just we just had this really big storm that came through, and I didn't know it, but there had been a tornado right where I was driving through, just maybe a couple hours before I got there. And so I'm driving down this road, and if you've ever been, which I know you know this, because in Wyoming, outside of the town, the roads are dark. They're really dark. And especially when the roads are wet, that it seems like they just disappear in the night, even with lights on. And that's how it was. The road was really dark ahead of me. And I'm traveling down this road. I'm going, I'm trying to get to my hunting spot. So I got one thing on my mind is like, I'm going hunting. And so I'm going 79 miles an hour or whatever. Down this little two-lane road, just trying to get to my spot. And all of a sudden, illuminated in my headlights is an object that is in the middle of the road. And I had about a half a second to see the object before I ran over it. And I'll just tell you what it was. It was the roof off of a barn that that had blown off of the barn in the tornado and been tossed onto the road. And so right there in the middle of the road is a roof sitting there upside down, rafters pointing up, and there's no way to avoid it. No way to avoid it. I'm going way too fast. It's dark. By the time I see it, it's all I can do just to hold the wheel. And I held the wheel, and I held my foot on the pedal, and I let off when I was in the air. But as I hit this thing, my truck catches air. I don't know how long I was in the air. It felt like a couple seconds. It was probably like a half a second. But I caught all four wheels off of the ground and in midair said, "Lord, help." Maybe one of the shortest prayers I've ever prayed. But I'm telling you, it was passionate. It was meaningful. It was desperate. "Lord, help." I really, in my mind, I mean, my whole life didn't flash before my eyes. I'm not that smart to process all that real quick. But I'm just telling you right now, I thought, this is it. Like, they're gonna have to call my wife and tell that he rolled his truck and all that. And so in the air, "Lord, help." It wasn't a long prayer, but it was to God was my audience, and I was hoping that he heard desperately. Landed with all four tires and knocked a little bit of my bumper off. Landed with all four tires, kept going, still hunted. Okay. Just good day. Lord answered my prayer. I did stop and call someone, tell them that that's on the road so they can come drag it off the road so someone else didn't get hurt. But then I went hunting after that. So I can't remember if I was successful or not. I was probably still shaking up. But I'm just telling you, Lord, long prayer, it doesn't have to be a long prayer. Sometimes our prayers, the Lord knows our heart, and we just pray. So long prayer, not necessarily good or bad. And then that our prayers must be ornate. I won't spend a whole lot of time on this, but you know, in those couple of seconds in the air, I didn't have time to think up any big fancy words. "Lord, if thou wilt," you know, I can't even think of them now, in fact. "If thou wilt help, lend me thine hand." No, "Lord, help." Okay. Sometimes when we start praying, our vocabulary just changes. And we think, man, if I put something together that's kind of a little more religious sounding, well, God will hear that. God knows how you talk all week. Just talk to him, okay? So now, let's go to our prayers. Here's what's important, that we would just be genuine. Genuine. Now, I'm not saying that we should not be reverent. We should absolutely be reverent when we're speaking to the Lord. We have to watch our language and our tone and our humility. We come to the Lord knowing that he is God, but he wants us to be genuine. So now, we're going to continue from there. So that's kind of where we got to. And so we'll just finish up the lesson by looking at this story that the Lord tells. So we already covered last time the Lord's model prayer that he tells his disciples to use as a structure for their prayers and things to include. He's not saying, repeat these words after me. He's saying, here are the elements. Here are the things that you need to be praying about. And he gives them that model prayer. And then he gives this story of a man who has gone to bed. It's late at night. And there's a friend that comes to him at midnight wanting some bread. Now, that would be highly irritating, wouldn't it? I mean, you're lying in bed. The day's over. You worked hard. Everyone's asleep. And you know, if you have kids, it's so hard to get the kids to sleep. And there's a thing on Saturday nights, by the way. I don't know why, but our kids will not go to sleep on Saturday nights. And it was last night I even got up to bed a little early, and I wound up going to sleep the same time I always do because they keep getting out of bed and coming and needing nothing. You know, but anyway, so that's just my own frustration coming out here this morning a little bit. But in Luke 11, this guy, you know, he's in bed. Day's over. It's midnight. He's asleep. The kids are asleep. And this guy comes knocking on the door. "I need some bread." What? It's midnight. Nobody's eating at midnight. Well, I had some guests come. They showed up. I wasn't expecting them. I don't have food for them. If you could, just get up and give me some bread. And he says, look, I'm in the bed. My kids are in the bed. I'm not getting up and giving you bread. Well, look at what verse 8 says. "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend." This is what he's saying. Man, we ain't good enough friends for me to get out of bed at midnight and give you bread. That's what he's saying. Like, I don't love you that much. Yeah, he doesn't get up and get him the bread because he's his friend. He says, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, this is an illustration. The Lord's trying to teach us a singular thought here, so don't take it further than it is. The Lord does love you. He loves you enough to answer all, you know, any prayer that's in his will. He loves you. So don't say, well, this guy didn't love his friend enough and he wouldn't answer and that's how God is. No, God loves you so much, I believe it says he sent his son to die for you. So the question of God's love is not in view here. What he's saying is there's this thing called importunity. And he's saying it's not that the friend will get up because, this is my good friend and I'd do anything for him. Hopefully that would be, you know, how we are. But he's saying in this case, that's not it. It's because of the guy's importunity. Well, that word importunity is interesting. That's not a word I use very often or actually at all, unless I'm preaching Luke 11, verse 8. But that word means this: a desperate, continual, and persistent asking. In other words, that guy is not going to quit knocking on the door and asking for bread until he gets bread. And somewhere in that bed, that guy's thinking, go away. You know, now, again, that's not God, right? We're just learning about importunity. But the guy in the bed, go away. Like, we're asleep, dude. Quit knocking on the door. But he won't stop. He just continuously, he's knocking on, he's desperate. This is a need that I have. You can fulfill the need I have. And so you're the guy right now. And so I'm asking, I'm knocking. He's persistent. He's continual. And the man in the bed finally says something like this: you know what? He's not going to give up till I give him the bread. So he gets up, not because they're good friends. He gets up because the guy won't let it go. He's persistent. He's continual. Last night, we sent our youngest daughter to bed like 3 times. And then finally, my wife just got up with her because she's like, she's not going to give it up till I go in there and deal with it. And it's always funny, what you deal with is usually nothing. But then she gave it up. Importunity. Persistence. Our prayer life, and so this is your next blank, our prayer life ought to be continual and persistent. Continual and persistent. Jesus had a continual and persistent prayer life. It says in Luke 6:12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Acts 1:14, these all, speaking of those early Christians, continued with one accord in prayer. They continued in prayer. Our prayer life needs to be continual and persistent. Don't give up on your prayers. Keep praying. Be persistent. Continually pray. I wrote down, I think I included all these verses in your notes so we wouldn't have to turn, but I just wanted you to see how many scriptures, and this is just the ones I selected, how many scriptures deal with a continual and persistent prayer life? Because I'm pretty good at being like, man, I prayed for that. The Lord said no, or he didn't answer, or whatever it is. And then you move on like thinking, well, the Lord just didn't care. He didn't hear me. Sometimes he wants to see if we're desperate. He wants to see if we really think he can bring to pass what we're asking. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Here's a good one you can memorize and tell Wayne next week. Pray without ceasing. Oh, yeah, okay. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Psalm 5:3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Here's the psalmist saying to God, here's one thing you can expect in the morning, God. Hearing my voice, I'm going to do it. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God wants us to call unto him. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Continual. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let me ask you this. Can you say my prayer life can be categorized as perseverance? That means you're not giving up. You're just going to keep knocking at the door and keep praying. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant, it just means to be always praying. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Everywhere. Hebrews 13:15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Psalm 116:1, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Now, each one of those verses, which is just some that I selected, talks about prayer, and many of those talks about how to keep a continual, or that we should keep a continual and persistent praying always prayer life. Now, so you need to realize you can pray anywhere. You can pray at any time. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, you hear, well, am I supposed to be on my knees, walking around on my knees all day? You certainly should pray from your knees, but you can pray standing too. You can pray sitting. You can pray. In fact, in the Bible, there's people praying standing, sitting, laying down, bowing, eyes to heaven, hands folded, hands lifted. The Bible records people praying from mountains, fields, boats, houses, battlefields, hospitals, churches, on the job, at home, from their beds, and more and more and more. The Bible records people praying in the morning, all parts of the day, midday, evening, even at midnight. Here's the point. Prayer is an open line of communication with God. It's always open. Now, as I was driving down that dark road, and I ran over that part of that house, whatever it was, shop roof, someone told me this. When you hit your thumb with a hammer, you'll find out, well, something's going to come out right there. Right? When you run over a roof, something's going to come out. You know what? I'm not bragging, because I could tell you 100 stories where I'm not doing right versus the one that I am doing right. But I'll tell you this. I was thankful a prayer came out. Could have been just easily a curse. But there was an open line of communication. I didn't say it earlier, but as I'm driving to the lease that morning, I was praying in my truck, driving along. You know, you can do that. That's about the only thing I can multitask on. It's just open. It's not like I'm going to have my prayers in the morning and then live the rest of the day without God. That's not the intent. Pray without ceasing. When something happens in our day, and maybe this is how we should think about it. When something happens in our day, like let's say something really irritates us, because this is one we all are, I think, probably guilty of. Who do we go and tell first? Okay, someone really irritates you. Who do you go tell first? Your wife, your husband, your friend. Social media, whatever. Who do you tell first? If your habit is to be having an open prayer line to God, did you know a lot of people will never hear about those things that irritate you? Because you'll just discuss it with God. It'll be over. Then you go about your day. Who do you ask first? Again, it comes out in our lives. Okay, so then let's just close up with this. This thing of prayer, I'm just going to call it the most priceless, underutilized resource. I don't think we quite understand what God has given us in prayer, is what I'm saying. I don't think we quite grasp just how wonderful it is to be able to pray. We'll do it quick, but go to Isaiah 6 real quick. And I don't think I put this in there on your notes. This just kind of came to me this morning. I was thinking about some of this, but look at Isaiah 6. So Isaiah 6 is a famous chapter because Isaiah has a vision of the Lord. Isaiah is essentially brought into the throne room of God. And this is where the God says, who shall go for me and whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, what? Here am I, send me. Okay, so it's a very famous chapter. Before he says, here am I, send me, he's brought to the throne room of God. I mean, he's brought to the place where God resides in heaven. And there's these beings there, seraphim and cherubim, and they're crying, holy, holy, holy. Look at Isaiah 6. In the year of the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So Isaiah is having this vision of God in the throne room of God. God is sitting there on his throne, and his train fills the area, and these beings are flying around, covering their faces and covering their feet, and they're flying around saying, holy, holy, holy. And when they say that, it's shaking the room. And as Isaiah realizes where he is, he's in the throne room of Almighty God. Notice what verse 5 says. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Next thing you know, he's being cleansed from a coal from the altar. And you probably know the rest of the story. But I'm just telling you, going into the throne room of God, instant humility for Isaiah. A lot of people have in their mind, when I meet the Lord, I'm going to tell him a few things about my life and how it all went. No, you're not. No, you are not. You will hit the floor in instant humility, knowing who he is. That's what you're going to do. That's what I'm going to do. We'll all of a sudden know what it means to worship and just how holy our God is and just how far apart we have strayed. There's Isaiah, and he goes into the throne room. He realizes where he is at, and immediately he's humbled. But look what Hebrews says. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's start in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the Lord invites us, who are just as sinful as Isaiah, just as undone and of unclean lips, and dwelling with people of an unclean lips as Isaiah, and the Lord says, I want you to come in to the throne room. You know, when you pray, what you're doing? You're going into the throne room. You're going into the throne. You're going in there where God is. You're going into a place that in the whole Old Testament, no one was allowed but the priest once a year. You're going into the Holy of Holies to meet with God. Boy, don't take that for granted. You get a... Listen, there's a lot of things wrong with our country. Sometimes we think, man, I'd like to have an ear with the president. I'll never get that. I'll never talk to him. Honestly, I'm kind of happy about that. But I'll never talk to him. If I did, he wouldn't care what I had to say. But you know what? I can go way above his head to God in his throne room and speak to him. And yet Christians pray for an average of 3 minutes a day. What in the world? We don't understand. the access we have to the Father. You say, how does he allow us in there? Well, Hebrews 10 tells us when Jesus came and brought in the New Testament, brought in the cross and all those things, that veil of the temple was torn asunder. We can go in there. We can boldly, now I believe that reverence is there as well, but we can boldly go to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help. Today, the theme of the day, I just started thinking through the messages. I love when God does this, but the theme of the day is essentially this: who are we relying on? You know, if you tell me about your prayer life, I'll tell you whether or not you're relying on God. Like when you have an issue, do you spend more time fighting your way out of it? Or are you at the throne room to the one who actually can solve it? Or is that where you're spending your time? We need to pray more. God has invited us into his throne room. He's given us an audience with him. And I think so many times we don't take him up on it. So in your notes, just real quick, we can come boldly to the throne room because of the blood of Christ. I wrote down, I do know a thing or two about poems. I can steal one and read it. Okay, I'm gonna read this poem called Too Busy to Pray. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. That's us like 9 out of 10 days. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, he didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He answered me, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, why, child, didn't you knock? So I woke up this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. One of these days we'll learn the lesson. We don't have time not to pray. We got too much to do that we need God's help every day. Make it a habit. Lord, we are thankful for your word and the instruction in it. I pray you'd help us to be better about coming to you, having an open line of communication with you, taking our problems first to you, and trusting in you to resolve them. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to pray. As the disciples asked, Lord, teach us as well. Lord, bless the day. I know we got so many people traveling, and quite a few that won't be here because they're doing different things. And we just pray for their safety while they're away, help them to all have good trips, and just be able to enjoy times of rest and family and things like that. But Lord, we do pray that you'd be with them as they're away and bring them back safe. But Lord, for those who are able to be here today and will be here, we just pray that you'd bless the day, that you'd help us to have a great day in church, that we'd hear from your word. Lord, that things that would impact us and help us to change our walk and be closer to you. And so we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you got to